This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Since their launch in April 2016, the Lost Food Project has been working to rescue food, reduce waste, and fight hunger in Malaysia. The organization was recently appointed as strategic partners of Yayasan Food Bank, and founder Suzanne Mooney has been working with the government on the Food Donor Protection Bill 2019, which was tabled and approved in the Dewan Rakyat just last week. So ahead of World Food Day this Wednesday, Suzanne joins me now to discuss the implications of this legislation and the impact it could have on feeding the hungry and not the landfill in Malaysia. Welcome, Suzanne. How are you today?
I'm very well, thank you, Juliet.
So congratulations on this new development, you know, especially with regard to the Food Donor Protection Bill. But before that, let's talk about the Lost Food Project. I know the organization has rescued enough surplus food to provide almost 3.5 million meals to people in need and prevent over 1 million kilograms of carbon emissions from entering the atmosphere. So just, you know, remind us again about how the Lost Food Project works.
Yes, the Lost Food Project, it's a sustainable food bank. So we basically collect surplus foods from different manufacturers, distributors, wholesalers, and we call it rescue, food rescue, because otherwise it's going into the landfill and it causes a very damaging environmental consequence. And we take it to our warehouse or directly to our charities, and you know they consume it all safely because it's all within its expiry date. And yes, so we also have an education program. We do lots of advocacy. We work with corporates. We try to raise awareness of the problem of food waste because it's very damaging and it's also very expensive.
Mm-hmm. And just remind us also how you do that work. I mean, is it mostly volunteer run? You know, how do you actually get everything sorted out? It's a crazy kind of organization, I know.
Yeah, we're essentially a very, very, very large logistics organization. And we have a few paid staff, but the vast, vast, vast majority are volunteers, which is great because it means our metrics, our running costs are very, very low mm-hmm. comparative to what we do. And so basically what we do is we have different departments who all have their different roles. We have lots of people from, you know, who maybe have retired from a job or somebody who's in between jobs, or sometimes we have mothers who have experienced professional backgrounds, or even fathers. Actually, our head of education department is a man, and we all are very, very passionate about what we do because feeding people is a human instinct, but also I think the educational awareness is growing around the world to do with the sustainability and the problems of climate change. Mm-hmm. So we're largely a volunteer organization.
Okay, and you know it's grown so much in the last, what, it's been 3 years now, hasn't it?
We actually started putting together the mechanics in 2015, and we started early 2016. But it's grown phenomenally partly because this government, I must say, have been extraordinary. They've had huge foresight. They've been very, very positive and have a can-do attitude. So I was at the Global Food Banking Network Conference in London in March, and explaining to all my compatriots from the different countries, they were all amazed at what's happening in Malaysia.
That's wonderful.
I was so proud to say we're the food project from Malaysia, and everyone, all the other countries, like, wow, and this law is going to happen. I said yes, and they were really, lots of Western countries are behind the government's thinking here. So it's special times, definitely.
Okay, and let's talk about that. You know, of course, the wonderful development is that the Food Donors Protection Bill 2019 was tabled and approved in the Dewan Rakyat just last week. Could you explain what this new law ensures?
Sure. Well, basically, there's a lot of different organisations pushing, have been advocating for this kind of movement for a long time, other food agencies as well as ourselves. So, but it's the government actually who have been travelling. The Minister Saifuddin as well has been travelling around the world, seeing what the best practice is in other countries, mm-hmm. and understood that there are lots of other countries who are doing this, and people don't get sick if you follow the health and safety guidelines of the country. So in the past, you know, hotels or restaurants will just say, no, cannot give because it's too dangerous. But really, it isn't too dangerous. And it's people being a bit lazy as well. Of course, we all have to be aware of safety concerns.
Of course.
Because we don't want to have people getting sick. But, you know, if you went shopping yourself and you bought some food, some meat, and if you left it out too long, you could also get sick. So it's about how you as an individual deal with food when you take it home.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you can also explain how this or what this new law actually ensures for people who are willing to donate food.
Sure. Well, I think, you know, in terms of the progress of food donations in Malaysia, this is just the first step. But it's a highly significant step because it just changes everybody's philosophy in the food and beverage industry. Mm-hmm. Because what this does is this tells everybody that, you know, we should all be donating food where possible. And previously, the reason a lot of organisations didn't was because they were worried about being sued. There's, you know, litigation, because if somebody gets sick, it's your responsibility. Mm-hmm. And previously, you know, around the world, lots of governments really put an onus on companies because obviously, you know, we don't want people getting sick.
Of course.
But it actually went too far. And this redresses the balance. And it tells restaurants and hotels that you should be giving away, not even that you could, it's you should be giving away food to people. And in the bill, it's the benefit is for the B40s and for the poorest members of society, because it's directing food to for free. Mm-hmm. So it's not trying to encourage people to be selling the food. It's encouraging people to give it to those most in need.
Right. So that's the first phase of the law, right? So that's to ensure that the donors are protected from litigation. The second phase, I understand, that's also going to include financial incentives. And that's something that's scheduled to be tabled next year. Could you tell us a little bit about what's going to happen then?
Sure. Well, I mean, this is obviously, you know, at inception stage at the moment. So and things can go wrong along the way, as we all know. But certainly from the government side, they're very positive about this. And we've been working very closely with them, looking at other countries' best practices. And it's obvious that if there is a financial incentive, people are more likely to give, because business is all about profit margins. Mm-hmm. And time is money. So even sorting out the food and sending it to places takes time. So sometimes it's easier for companies just to throw food away, whether it be a supermarket or even a hotel or a restaurant. So if there is a small financial incentive, then a lot more food will be donated. And the extent of food in this country is thrown away, if we can rescue a lot of it, a lot of people will be fed. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's environmental costs too, which really aren't always measured properly in many countries. So I think the saving there'll be a net saving to the government, because, you know, we're looking at numbers right at the moment, but an efficient government would offer an incentive that's actually less than they're spending on the waste disposal costs. Mm-hmm. So it actually is a smart thing for any government to do, because it's saving the country money. Yet at the same time, it's encouraging stores and shops to give as much food as they can.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, just remind everybody about the stats. You know, how much food waste are Malaysians generating on a daily basis?
Well, the conservative figures would say that 3,000 tons of edible food, mm-hmm, is thrown away every day, which is like 10 million meals. But if you look at all the food, which we would consider potential food, so we're saying that all the food that's non-edible as well as edible, mm-hmm, is over 15,000 tons. So you're talking about five times as much food. And the only reason it's waste is because it hasn't efficiently been stored or kept. So the potential for meals in Malaysia is, you know, tens of millions every day. And of course, no country is going to reach 100% efficiency, you know, but we can meet somewhere in the middle between the very little that's collected relatively at the moment and 50 million a day.
And just going back to the law, I understand that the protection is not absolute.
Well, the law protects anybody who gives in good faith. Mm-hmm. However, if for any reason you're not following the law, the health and safety laws closely, if you're not storing your food properly, or if you're deliberately going to hurt somebody, if you're deliberately giving somebody food that there's a problem with, then you will not be covered. Mm-hmm. So the government are just trying to ensure that, you know, people can give, but obviously it's not a license for people to poison or dump food. Exactly.
Right. I mean, because like you said, it's done in good faith, isn't it? So I guess the onus is on you at the start to make sure that the food at the time of donation is good quality, essentially.
Yeah, well, I think most food banks, you know, when the food comes in, we check all the food anyway. Mm-hmm. So the onus is not really with the donor. The onus is with the recipient, i.e. the food bank. And we have to check everything is within the expiry date and it's in good condition. Mm-hmm. And if for any reason it isn't, then we have to remove it and we either compost the food or we dispose of it in a very safe way.
So, you know, just going back to the bill, I know it was passed without much opposition, am I correct? And I mean, that's just a wonderful thing to see, especially in, you know, politics, that everyone's coming together for this.
Absolutely. I think it's quite a non-controversial subject, but I agree. I think it's brilliant that everyone comes together and people are not trying to score political points, because there is a bigger picture, and I hope that all politicians, you know, both with this bill and hopefully the next bill, don't try and, you know, kick around a political football and can see that we should all be pushing in the same direction, because it's only when we do that the energy is going in the right place. So I'm delighted that both the government and the opposition seem very supportive of what's happening now.
Okay, all right. And I guess, you know, what do you think that this proposed new law will encourage? I mean, what do you foresee is going to happen following this?
Well, I think this current new law is going to, I hope, change people's attitude and philosophy towards food and food waste. Hopefully, if we do have a second act in the future, I think that will be what I would call the game changer. I think that will really drive up the volume of food that's available. Mm-hmm. I think that it will make companies look at how much food they're producing when they see it all in black and white on paper. And hopefully they will look at their production and consumption volumes. I would hope that, you know, it's going to have a very positive impact on the environment. And I think, yeah, I think this, the general awareness, everything is moving in the right direction for sure. And we don't even know the consequences that will happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I know that Lost Food Project, you're doing so much of work and, you know, you've been engaging with the government and you've been engaging with so many different stakeholders, public and private. Tell me a little bit more about, you know, some of the projects that you are currently working on, or, you know, in the future, what the things that you are working on.
Sure. Well, we are trying to expand at the moment. We're working, we have a core set of almost 60 charities that we regularly give. So we deliver 6 days a week to lots of different charities, you know, the elderly, young, disabled. We are non-discriminatory, so we give to absolutely everybody. We also have, we work with B40s. We feel very strongly about supporting the urban poor. So we have, currently we have two big projects. So we give twice a week in Gombak and also in Lemba Pantai. And we also have an Orang Asli project. So we give to Orang Aslis in 5 different states. Okay. As well, which is great. And we have other sort of specific initiatives. For example, we have a period poverty program where we make sure that all the girls in our charities, none of them are burdened by the fact they don't have enough money for protection, which allows them to go to school every day, because period poverty is a global problem. Yeah. Even Western countries, what you would consider to be very rich countries, are very much impacted. So, you know, we don't just collect food, we collect non-essential foods. So we collect, you know, shampoos and nappies and shower gels, toothpaste, toothbrushes, as well as, you know, sanitary protection.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that is another project that is under also the Lost Food Project.
Yes. I mean, you know, our primary focus is food for sure. Mm-hmm. But because we're a sustainability organisation, if we're offered, like some of our fantastic partners like Procter & Gamble, they, you know, they'll often offer us, you know, surplus pallets that come up. And of course, we want to take them because otherwise we know it ends up in the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And that's the main aim, right? To keep the landfills
exactly
free of good quality products that can be used by people. And, you know, as we spoke about earlier, it is a very volunteer-based organization. And, you know, if anyone's listening, how can they get involved with you guys?
Well, we're very keen to have new blood, and we're looking at expansion. We have expansion partners already on the horizon. We're actually finalising some contracts at the moment. So it's not just in Klang Valley. But we need people who are passionate about helping others, mm-hmm. who care about the environment and just want to make a difference in life, because we can all make a difference. And we just want to have people who have the same attitude as us, the can-do attitude. And because what we do isn't very, very difficult at all. It's just having the motivation to do it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could do something as simple as driving from A to B. Or if you're interested in, you know, for example, getting involved in some of our events or our communications or fundraising. I mean, really, fundraising is key because, you know, that's our biggest barrier. Mm-hmm. Because although the majority of the staff are all volunteers, we do have a few paid staff. And obviously we have trucks and warehousing and all those things that we have to cover.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, in all the years that you've been doing this, have you seen, especially with regard to the donors, are you seeing a big change in terms of perception, you know, about how this is an important thing that they need to work on? I mean, is there a more awareness, I suppose, on also the environmental aspect of it, not just, you know, the dollars and cents that it makes to them?
I think there's been a huge change since we started doing this. The first partner we had was Giant, and the CEO at that time was slightly reticent about even doing this with us, saying he thought Malaysia was not ready for this. And when I think about this week in Parliament, and one of my colleagues and I, we just looked at each other, and we both had goosebumps and tears in our eyes, because now, you know, we've come so far as a country that every company we speak to is interested and wants to do it, or if they don't do it, they know that maybe they ought to do it or they will do it in the future. Mm-hmm. And it's just, yeah, it's inspiring, and it just makes all the work that everyone has done, you know, it just makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah, and I just wanted to share this story of how I was in the hospital recently, and there was a cleaner who was one of the beneficiaries of the Lost Food Project. You know, it was during Ramadan, and, you know, she had received food. I think there was a project that you were doing with Lembah Pantai, as you mentioned, and she was so grateful about it. She did not know who you guys were, but she was very grateful to receive that help, especially during Ramadan. She's a single mother. She's got a child with learning difficulties. She herself has learning difficulties. And it was just such a simple thing, and she was so grateful. So, you know, you are making an impact in, you know, small, small ways that maybe you're not even aware of.
Yeah, well, it's, I think in the world in general, actually, we're living in very negative times. We have very negative leaders who have no vision, you know, for Donald Trump's the world. And, you know, as a British lady, I would say that Boris Johnson, you know, could be seen in the same way. And really, ultimately, all our lives are about our day-to-day living. It's about whether you have enough money to buy your children milk, to send your children on the school bus. You know, big-time politics isn't really so important to us on a day-to-day basis. It's all about the small things. That's what makes a difference. So I'm delighted to hear about the lady you're talking about, because, you know, she's actually a solution to an environmental problem. Yeah. So I would actually like to thank her, because without people like her taking the products, we have an even bigger problem with the environment.
Mm-hmm. And I guess, you know, it's World Food Day this Wednesday. You know, is there any message that you'd like to leave people with ahead of that?
Sure. Well, we're having a big event, actually, with YB Farmy and in his PPR in Lembah Pantai. And we're working with Cargill and some other groups. And it should be a celebration. Normally, it's a day where we're all supposed to remember, you know, that food is a problem often in many countries in the world. Food security is a growing problem. This year, the focus is about nutrition, about having a balanced diet. But for some people, they don't even have an option of having a balanced diet. And I think that's something we all have to remember. And food for many of us is just something we do as a celebration, or we can choose what we like to eat. But for many people here in Malaysia, they don't have that luxury. So on World Food Day, really enjoy your food. Please finish it all. And this is it's important we have days like this.
Okay, all right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Suzanne. And, you know, if anyone would like to get in touch to become volunteers or to work with you, I think they can head to the lostfoodproject.org for more information.
That's correct. We have a Twitter feed. We have Instagram. Yeah, we're always delighted to have, you know, just send us a message if you're interested or want to know more, even if it's just a few hours a week, or if you want to hold a fundraiser for us, or just come along and find out how we work. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not just in Klang. You know, we're very interested in speaking to people around the country.
Okay, so all over Malaysia, anybody, you're hoping to open up to different states?
Eventually, I mean, we have to be, you know, we're very much a systematic organisation, so we need to do things in careful steps. Mm-hmm. But we definitely are looking, you know, to expand operations, because there's food all over Malaysia. There's hungry people all over Malaysia, but it's just doing it in a sensible, organised way.
Mm-hmm. That is exactly it, sensible and organised. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've been speaking to Suzanne Mooney. She is the founder of the Lost Food Project, and we were discussing the Food Donor Protection Bill 2019, and also talking about, of course, the work that the Lost Food Project does. And again, if you'd like to get in touch with them, that website to head to is thelostfoodproject.org. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play, the App Store, and also on Spotify. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.